It's episode 11 of the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Kyron Mountain, and this week we're going to go a little deep, maybe a little philosophical with our guest, LeGrand Green. And on this first half of the conversation, we're going to get a little bit of insight behind the scenes of a show like The Oprah Winfrey Show. Then we're going to find out how he produces his podcast, Bold. I have a really exciting guest on the show today. He was part of a really exciting show that you might have heard of before. It's called, you know, The Oprah Winfrey Show. LeGrand Green, he has been a four-time Emmy winner. He's the host of Bold. It's a pop culture podcast about wellness and living your best life now. It's all about celebrities, everyday heroes, from outspoken to the outrageous, bold features, provocative people with inspiring ideas. LeGrand, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you, Kyron. I'm so glad to be here.
So let's dig into this a little bit. I think as soon as someone hears Oprah Winfrey Show, they want to know a little bit of more about that. Like, as a supervising producer, what is that?
That means you do nothing.
I bet you do everything. I bet it's the opposite of that, sir.
Yeah, it is kind of the opposite of that. I always tell people, because people do not understand what a producer does for television. And like producers in film, they pretty much raise the money. But in television, you actually do the work in a sense that I always tell people, listen, what do you do as a producer? I say you do everything but host the show. Because you have to find the guest, you have to come up with the idea, you have to write the script, you have to do the research. So that's what a producer does. And then you hand that off to the host, who then puts it all together for the air. Okay. But behind the scenes, you're doing all the, you know, you're doing all the legwork, so to speak.
Right.
Like almost like a duck, you know, swimming in water. You see the placid duck on the water, but underneath those legs are like flopping. So that's the producer.
So you're the legs under the water that you can't see. That's
exactly,
actually moving
that you
the duck.
See that's moving that duck.
So you say you were a supervising producer. Does that mean you had a team of producers?
That mean I supervised teams of producers. Yes.
How many people were there?
Well, at that time, this was back in the 90s when I was with Oprah. This was so I was probably producing probably about three or four teams of probably about 20 so people or so under me. And I wasn't the only one. It's probably like three other supervising senior producers at that
wow.
time. So, and when I was there, when I started at Oprah in, I think it was 90, there were like 30 people. And Oprah's production company is called Harpo, Oprah backwards. Okay. So at Harpo, there were 30 people. And I think when the show ended in 2011, there were like 400. So I was there when it was very small. So I got to see the growth of that show. Because when I worked there, of course she was Oprah, but she wasn't Oprah.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, when I left, I think she started the magazine and all the rest of the little ventures that she has. But yes, it was a very, very fun time to work there.
So more questions just about producing and behind the scenes a little bit question for you. You said you had about 20 people and you said there were about four to five teams. Would that mean that you guys would do maybe like a show or two a day, or, you know, because the show comes out every day, but were they filmed all at once? I always get the feeling sometimes they're all filmed in one day.
No. In general, basically, I don't know what the schedule was after I left there, but generally we recorded six shows a week. We did shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and usually do two shows a day. So you do two shows every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Sometimes you have a live show, but most of the shows were taped ahead of time.
Right.
And most of the shows we call taped as live, and we could edit later. But most of the shows were edited. You know, if there was an hour show, you taped it for an hour, and that was it. Because with Oprah, you're dealing with topical things and people.
Yeah.
So you want to keep it fresh. And so over-taping can sometimes dilute a show. So you want to keep it fresh. So they were taped.
And by over-taping, you mean like taping too far in advance?
No. Over-taping in the sense of if you have an hour topic and you tape like for 2 hours, then you have too much material. And you're editing out key things. So it's best, like I said, we taped it as if it were live.
And so just to clarify that means like you're making camera changes live. You're going to breaks live.
Exactly.
You're pretending it's going live.
Exactly. You had commercial breaks there. There'd be 2 minute commercial breaks, whatever the case may be. It just makes it feel it's fresher. And most talk shows generally follow that format.
I know a lot of podcasters actually do a very similar format, especially if they've got a live chat room going. Basically, what you if you were to tune in for their live, quote-unquote, live chat room, you would pretty much get the same show, because a lot of podcasters don't do edits after the fact.
Right, right.
So kind of like that?
Kind of like that, yes.
If someone was trying to understand? Yes. Okay, that's very cool. So, LeGrand, let's go into Bold now, because that kind of came from your working with the Oprah Winfrey Show and your passion for all things, you know, cultural wellness. We were talking before the show, and you said that you couldn't find the show you wanted, so you created one.
Right, yeah. I went looking at I like podcasting. I'm fairly new to listening to podcasts, but I was listening to a lot of podcasts usually when I work out, usually when I go on the treadmill or at the gym. And I love a podcast, you know, I can listen to while I'm doing things, and I love the content and the material. And so after I had gone through a number of podcasts, I was looking for one that would have kind of everything I wanted in the same in one podcast. Like, for example, I like exercise podcasts, but they're all only about exercise. The very nature of podcasts is that they're very specified. So I understood that. But I was like, well, where's the podcast that's going to be funny one day and inspirational to the next and have a wide, you know, panoply of guests, like a talk show? So I couldn't really find that. And so after some thought, I went, oh, you know what? I got 4 Emmys, and I think I'm a producer. I could probably
do this kind of thing.
Do it myself. So that's how Bold awesome. Came about.
That's so awesome. Question, let's rewind real quick here. What was the first podcast you ever listened to?
Ooh, that's a good question, Kyron. I don't really even know.
What was one of the first ones?
I'm thinking here. What popped in my head first? The first thing that popped in my head was
sure.
And I don't know if it was technically a podcast, but it was something from the Agape International Spiritual Center in L.A. I think Reverend Michael Beckwith, who is also in that book, The Secret. Something about that. It might have been from that particular church, or it might have been a podcast about The Secret. You know, when that came out a few years ago.
I think there might have been a podcast about
it. I think, and I don't think, to be honest, Kyron, I don't think when I first heard, that was a few years back, I don't think they were even using the term podcast back then.
Right.
I'm sure that was a podcast, but I don't think it was a podcast back then. But the first podcast I can say that I listened to probably consistently was John Lee Dumas was one of them. Famous, what's it called, Entrepreneur on Fire.
Yeah, he's pretty popular. Yeah,
he's been a guest on Bold as well. So I can only probably say I have earnestly listened to podcasts probably the past year. And it was kind of scattershot. Like I was listening to them when I go on internet, and then I started to see them everywhere on people's sites, and so I started clicking on things. And usually, like I said, it was when I was working out, and I tend to like listen to more inspiration and information. I like both of those type of things.
Very cool. Speaking of inspiration, who would you say in the industry, could be podcasting, could be any, could be television, could be anything, who would you say inspires you?
Good question. And when you say inspire me, I mean, I'm sure I'm drawing a blank.
Who,
I'm like,
who helps drive you to do what you do?
Well, obviously, Oprah was one. I used to always say that Oprah, people would always ask me who don't know me or just meet me, and they go, oh, where did you get your inspiration from? And I'm like, Oprah. And they would go, oh, the Oprah show is so fantastic. And blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm talking about Oprah. No,
I'm talking the person.
The person, Oprah.
I know her.
Yeah, I mean, many times Oprah and I have these conversations about spirituality or different things, and she opened my eyes to a lot of things. On television, or who's out there now? I mean, it's a lot of people. I'm just trying to think of are you talking mainly in podcasting or just in general?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it can be anything from your walk. It could be your mom. I don't know. Like, who drives you to do what you do? That's what I want to know.
Me.
Hey, that works. I can go with that.
It's interesting. I'm not a very outside driven person. I'm very much an inward person. Although a lot of people think I'm an extrovert, I'm not. Because I think
I totally get that.
Yeah, I'm very much draw my energy from solitude and from introspection. And to be honest, Kyron, And a lot, because I worked with a lot of celebrities and I worked in the industry for so long, I know a lot of this stuff that's out there is image.
Yes.
And a lot of people are not exactly who they say they are. So I kind of have what they call a side eye. I look kind of suspect at people a lot of times. I mean, that's nothing to do with them. That's me. So I like, right. I don't necessarily believe that all that glitters is gold. So I don't draw my inspiration from outside. It's usually from a centered place, and it kind of bubbles up within me. And then my goal, point in life is to express that in outward fashion. Take the inside. That's what the theme of Bold is. We always talk about on Bold that we are the place where a shift happens. Okay. And that shift that happens in our everyday decisions. Like, you are the shift. You are the change you want to see in the world. But how does that change happen? It happens in our everyday decisions that we make. And so that shift that happens, to me, happens, Kyron, when you go inside. It's not about, you know, you've heard people say that getting bold or being bold is about stepping outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I say the exact opposite. I say it's not about going outside. It's about having the courage to go inside and to actually do what's your spirit or your interior voice is telling you to do. We all have dreams. We all have passion. So I think when you listen to that voice inside, I'm not talking about schizophrenia. But when you listen to what something is just drawing to you, it's usually the one thing that you are afraid of. And I've had teachers tell me this as well, spiritual teachers. You should run towards the thing that you're most afraid of, because that's where your power is. So when you do that thing, that's what being bold is to me.
So, you know, I think that really lines up. I know our very first episode of season two here, we had Rachel West on, and she was talking about how, you know, you've got to find yourself. And she was just talking about as a voice actor, but I think you've taken it so much deeper. I really like that. Thank you.
No, thank you. I really do believe that. I mean, I really do believe that. Most of us know what we want to do. Yeah. Sometimes it might be unclear, and trust me, I've had many, many ups and downs in my life. You know, despite the success, there have been really many, 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 many dark moments. And I have found that in those dark moments, those are sometimes the greatest lessons, because then you go, okay, this is not the direction I want to go in. However,
and you need to learn that, right?
Well, we all have. I think we're wired to learn that way. People always ask, why don't you learn from the good stuff? Because we take the good stuff for granted. It's in those shadowy places that, you know, the light is for us to discover.
Okay, so let's talk about that a bit more. I'm going to skip ahead here. I'm going to ask what your biggest success story is. But while we're on the topic, what would you say is your biggest quote-unquote failure or, you know, learning moment?
Oh, I have many, many, many of those. Let me just pick one. I'm going to use the Oprah example. Since we've been talking about that, you know, I was very successful, four Emmys and all that. But I will tell you the story of when I won my fourth Emmy. Okay. And I won my fourth Emmy in 1997, I believe. I was extremely depressed at that point. And, you know, very depressed. I mean, I was diagnosed much later as clinically depressed. I didn't know that then. I just was like depressed. Right. And I remember standing on stage at Radio City Music Hall. Oprah was in front of me, and I got the Emmy in my hand, and there's thousands of people clapping, throngs of people cheering, and I was so depressed. And I went, "Is this all there is? I mean, I've got four of these already. I mean, what am I going to do with this one? This is literally what was going through my mind." So I bring this point up to say that just because it looks pretty on the outside doesn't mean that you have it together. Because I went from that to shortly, about 2-3 years later, when the clinical depression, which had finally been diagnosed, I also discovered drugs at that time. And I was a big crystal meth addict. So I lost everything, my reputation, my jobs. No one would hire me. You know, I had no money because I run through it all, you know, for drugs and whatnot. So I was really low. I bring this point story up to say, so take the guy who's standing on stage with the Emmy in his hand. 4 years later, I was working at a department store selling shoes because no one would hire me. So in that dark spot of having lost everything. And I say reputation, money, all that stuff was gone. And I'm working in a shoe department in a Miami Beach department store. I'm like, oh my God, how did I get here?
Right.
And I realized, well, you got here because, yeah, you have some issues. You have some clinical depression. You have some addiction issues. But those things are not who you are.
No.
They're not who you are. So you still are a four-time Emmy winner. You still are talented. You still have ideas. You just need to figure out how you want to use your voice. And speaking of podcasting, one of the biggest things Oprah ever told me once, and I'll never forget it, when we were working on the show, we started the podcast talking about what a producer does. And Oprah sat us down in one meeting, this is a while back, and she said, I may be the host of the show, but you guys are the voice. And I want you to put your voice into your shows because you are the creator and you have the ability to create the show that you want. And I never forgot that. So I just transposed the word voice for life. I have the ability to create the life that I want. We all do. So no matter what the circumstances may be. And I don't say that being Pollyanna, Kyron, because okay. I'm not saying, you know, oh my God, I imagine my life to be so wonderful and I'm so rich and I have everything I want in the world. No. I'm saying no. You do have the ability to create or co-create with what's going on around you. Once you have the desire to put that step forward and take right. that bold step forward to activate your voice inside. So the dark place was the depression and the addiction. But I had to come out of that. And yes, you don't do that overnight in addiction. Right. You know, I've been clean for quite some time here. But I also know that that's one day at a time as well. So it's not about denying what happened. It's about taking that moment and going, okay, this happened. Yes, this happened. But there's some good here. And there's a lot of good here. So let me focus on that.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's flip down the side, good side, and let's talk about the good that happened. What would you say is your biggest success story?
I love these questions because obviously there's no one great success story.
Well, then what's a great success story?
Success for me.
You know, okay, let's even go different route here because you seem to be a pretty deep guy. How do you measure success?
I measure success by the fulfillment. My fulfillment and service okay. is what I'm doing serving others is what I'm doing serving my soul, myself.
Like, and those feel like they kind of go hand in hand. Like if you're serving people in a really meaningful way, you said the two things. You said
fulfillment service. And service, yes.
Yeah, so the service could be fulfilling.
Right.
I think what I was trying to go with.
Right, right. But I think I also don't want to fall into the trap of where I see a lot of people who are service oriented.
Right.
They're only service oriented and they don't think about, they don't look at how they can fulfill themselves. Because serving others is, to me, not just fulfilling in of itself. There's got to be more to it. Like, you know, just.
Right. I wanted to say that. I wanted to say they kind of feed each other.
Yeah, they feed each other.
And they need to feed each other.
They need to feed each other and they need to be. Like I said, for me, I mean, this is why like I'm speaking out loud here is I'm saying some of these thoughts I hadn't thought about. I'm not, once again, I'm not externally driven, but I have seen that my greatest joy comes when I ignite that passion inside and share it. And I feel the back and forth, you know, like for Starting Bold, for example, it was
right.
I created it because I saw a vacuum out there for this type of topic where I wanted something that was very vibrant, something very, for lack of a better word, spiritual, inspirational, but also something, as I call, edgy and entertaining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to also be very – the show to be very accepting. We do a lot of LGBT gay topics because I'm a black gay man. So, I mean, I do topics okay. that interest me. So,
do you know what? That's the easiest way to do it is to talk about, things that relate to you and interest you, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I do a lot of cultural things. I do a lot of pop culture things. I do a lot of spiritual things. We do a lot of funny things and a lot of comics on the show. So, like I said, it's a potpourri of things because I'm a potpourri kind of guy, which is why
I like that.
That's why I started Bold.
Bowls. Yeah. I like potpourri, though. I like that because there's lots of stuff in potpourri, right?
There is.
And it all comes out and smells nice.
Sometimes.
Well, if you're doing it right?
There's some potpourri I don't like, but yeah.
Yeah, potpourri. No, don't get me wrong. I know.
Like, it's like anything else. Yes, it's an acquired taste or smell, but yes.
But if you put the right things into Absolutely. It comes out good, right?
Yeah, and it's always different.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. So let's dig into a bowl a little bit more. What kind of tools do you use? It's an audio podcast, so you have to record it.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. I bought a specific. What kind of mic did I buy? I bought this a long ago, Kyron. I think I have a Yeti microphone. Okay. I bought a new computer I basically do it off my Mac computer.
Good choice.
I have the basic tools that everyone else has. I have a Skype recorder. That, and then anything else I do that's in there? No.
Do you do any of the editing?
I do the editing, but the show's not that heavily editing, but I edit the show myself.
What software do you use for that?
I use Audacity.
Good choice.
Audacity for that. Ask the questions away. I'm trying to think.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's very basic. What I use is very basic, and it gets the job done.
Hey, you know what? You don't need a fancy hammer to drive through a nail, right?
Well, you don't. Well, you know, it depends on who you're showing that board to. But yeah, the microphone was important, and I might even upgrade the microphone. But I mean, it's been fine for me just now. I'm one of those people like as a producer, you like to plan ahead. So I've got to go buy an extra microphone anyway because I know the day's going to come. The day is going to come when I have the most important interview of my life, and the microphone is going to not work for some reason. So I need to have a backup here just in case.
Yeah, always have a backup. That's a good call. So outside of recording tools, is there anything else, like, I mean, email or something else that you just wouldn't be able to do the show without?
Not equipment-wise, but as far as what we do at Bold, we have a team that I work with. And this show would not be possible, I don't believe. And when I started the show, Kyron, and I know your listeners are into the podcasting side of it, I think there is a misconception. Now, I can say this now because I've been doing it for 6 months. What's being told people is like, okay, that's not really the real deal. Like, we're all sold the dream that we're all going to be, you know, have these daily shows, and thousands of people are going to listen to our shows because we have on great guests. Well, they missed the most important part of that. No one's going to listen to your show unless people know about it. So when I first started, I didn't want to put too much money into this, but I went, okay, I'm going to have a social media team to get this out there. So the first thing I did once I had the concept was find the right social media person because I knew – especially a topic like this, because it's not a single topic show. Like, you don't tune into Bo to hear about car mechanics every day. That's great if that's what you're doing. But so I knew that I need to have someone who could execute a multi-level plan to multi-level audiences. So social media is very important for Bo. So that was probably the key component, I think, to our success. I also take a little issue with how people are being sold, get on iTunes and you'll be a big hit. Well, no, that takes work. You just can't get on iTunes and be a big hit. You got to be promoting. You got to have a strategy before you even launch. And I don't think that's really wired to people so much. We are successful because I have a social media team and we're getting like $10,000-$20,000 a week or something just from our social media efforts. I'm going to have to probably relaunch Bold on iTunes in about 6 months or so, but I'm not going to relaunch it on iTunes until I have the right strategy in place, you know, with the rating and subscribing and all that. It just doesn't happen by magic. People think it does. And that's what I want to say is I think people need to think about if you're doing it for numbers, you need to have that strategy in place that's executable before you start.
That's awesome. I think that's really important. You know, you can't go on a trip unless you know where you're going, right?
Right.
Like, and then half the time you need a map so you know how to get there.
Yeah, map, and you got to have the right vehicle. You know, so
yeah. True that. That goes even further. Yeah, I know. You're 100% right.
Because I think a lot of people are you know, it depends on why you're starting. Most people are not starting podcasting as a business, and I didn't start mine. I eventually will monetize it in other ways, and we're working towards that. Bob's going to have products coming up here soon because we've been a success much faster than I thought we would. So we obviously tapped into a vein. And so now I'm like, okay, well, let's now put together the right sponsors. People are coming to us to want to sponsor now. So I'm like, now let's put together something that's going to be what I said earlier. How can I serve in a way that's fulfilling to me as well as the audience? So I'm now in the next stage of planning that product line and things that really resonate with what Bold is. But yeah, I do think that podcasting is a wonderful tool. Kyron, and the reason I love it so much is because after I left Oprah, and I just told you about the dark night of the soul where I was going through the addiction issues. Now, once I came out of all of that, I was teaching for a number of years a bunch of classes called How to Get on Any Talk Show, and that's how I wound up in Canada. I was touring the U.S. and Canada and going to England as well, teaching classes about talk show and about marketing. This is before branding was a big word. You know, branding's a big thing now. But this is like back in the mid-2000s. And I hated it. I made a lot of money doing it. Mm-hmm. But I knew something was missing. And what was missing was what we're talking about here right now, podcasting. I now realize I was telling people how to get on Oprah when the real truth of the matter is you can be your own Oprah. And that's what podcasting does. You can have your own voice, build your own platform, and as we know,
do it your way.
Your way, and it goes to your audience. You don't need the 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, whatever the numbers are. That's great to have a show like that. But if you have a fantastic product and a fantastic platform, and you have your audience, you find your tribe and you speak to your tribe, and that's the most satisfying feeling in the world.
I like that. I like that tribe. It's so true. I like that.
It is.
So my chat with LeGrand went a little bit longer, probably closer to an hour, and I still want to share that with you. So let's do it next week. How about that? LeGrand Green, part two, next week on the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. In the meantime, head over to mrc.fm/promo, and that's where you're going to find 15% off your next order from Music Radio Creative. Remember, this isn't posted on Twitter or in the show notes. You're just getting it from my voice. mrc.fm/promo for your next voiceover, full production, podcast intro, anything. I'll see you next week for part two with LeGrand Green on the audio production show from Music Radio Creative.
Listen.
Discover.
Share your ambitions.
Express your feelings.
Capture what matters.
Open the world of audio.
The world of audio.
Where everything is made to amaze.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio
Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.